Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
The sacrifice of Jesus the Christ on the cross is the ultimate sacrifice. It is the unique sacrifice. It is the perfect sacrifice. And this belief on Jesus dying on the cross for our sins as the perfect sacrifice is central to the message of Easter.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The gospel of Jesus Christ explains that God gave His only Son as a sacrifice so that our sins might be forgiven. But when you hear this, do you ever wonder why? Why did Jesus have to die? Why did a sacrifice have to be made? Today on The Verdict, we're discovering why Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with our Good Friday message.
At Calvary Church, we always have a service on the evening of Good Friday. We worship God, I preach, and then we conclude by celebrating communion. The focus is on the death of our Lord Jesus for our sins. Often when we think of the cross, we think of our own salvation, and in a sense we should. But this Good Friday, I want us to make sure we're focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago was a unique death. In fact, it was a unique sacrifice as He, the perfect Son of God, is bearing the sin of the world. Today, listen with humility. Listen in a spirit of worship and wonder as we think of that perfect, unrepeatable, unique sacrifice, the Son of God on a cross. Let me read with you, first of all, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest, the writer is referring to the Old Testament priests, what we call the Levitical priesthood, all coming from the tribe of Levi. So the Levitical priests, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time, think of that, for all time, a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. For by a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then He adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. The writer is telling us, and he's writing particularly to Hebrews, to Jewish people, some of whom had embraced the Christian faith, some truly embracing it, and some only superficially. He's saying that Christ's sacrifice ends all other sacrifices. The sacrifice of Jesus ends all sacrifices, as the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus on the cross is the perfect sacrifice. One of the questions that all of us have to deal with, irrespective of our backgrounds or the religious beliefs we were taught, is this: how do we deal with the sin in our life? Because unless you're terribly deceived, you realize that you're a fallen individual, that you can't live up to your own standards, far, far less the standards of God. And so all of us have to deal with this thought: how do I deal with the sin in my life? It's a good question to ask people as you talk to them about their beliefs, isn't it? All of us have to deal with sin. Now, in the Levitical system in the Old Testament, there was a constant reminder of sin. And the writer is telling us it was impossible for these sacrifices to take away sin. Otherwise, the sacrifices would have stopped. Let me read with you the first four verses of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Now, these sacrifices could never make perfect those who draw near. So the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross accomplishes what all of these Old Testament sacrifices could never accomplish. And the writer is saying, now there is no need of these sacrifices because Christ's sacrifice is final. His one perfect sacrifice ends all of the sacrifices. Verse 18, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Now here, Christ's sacrifice is contrasted with the Old Testament sacrifices. And I want to mention four sacrifices. As we contrast the Old Testament sacrifices with the sacrifice of our Lord, I pray that your love for Christ and your understanding of the gospel and your understanding of the Easter message will deepen. First of all, the Old Testament sacrifices were shadows. Christ's sacrifice is the reality. Verse 1, the Old Testament sacrifices, the writer says, were a shadow of the good things to come. The sacrifices ordained by God, they were pointing forward to the perfect sacrifices. They were externals, they were types, they were illustrations, they were shadows. But the writer says, verse 1, they were not the true form of these realities. Here's the second contrast. The Old Testament sacrifices were offered daily. Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. I love that. Verse 12, his sacrifice for sins. Did you notice what it says? It is for all time. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, I love that. It is a perfect, unrepeatable, unique sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices were not only offered daily, they were offered repeatedly. The priests, verse 11, were offering repeatedly the same sacrifice over and over again. When one priest died, he was replaced by another. There was seemingly no end to the repetitive ritual of the Levitical priesthood and sacrifices. And the writer is saying in his argument here in chapter 10 that the repetitive nature of the sacrifices demonstrates that the system was inadequate. And by the very virtue of the repetition of the sacrifices, there was a continual reminder of sins. Would these Old Testament sacrifices ever come to an end? Think of the contrast. Verse 14, Christ offered one single sacrifice of himself. With this perfect sacrifice, it's not an animal. It is the sinless Son of God whose whole life was one of obedience and who voluntarily gives himself in death on the cross for the sins of others, for your redemption and mine. And the cross is the ultimate demonstration of his obedience to his Father's will. This is God's eternal plan for sinners to be saved. And that one sacrifice perfectly satisfied his Father and is God. Here's the third one. Shadows in contrast to reality. Daily in contrast to once for all. Third, the Old Testament sacrifices were offered by priests standing. Christ sat down after his sacrifice for himself. If you know anything about the Old Testament tabernacle and Solomon's temple, there was no chairs in the tabernacle. There were no chairs in the temple. Oh, there was a table, there was altars, and the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant, there was the mercy seat, but there were no chairs. The Old Testament priests never sat down, symbolizing that their work was never done. Verse 11, every priest stands daily at his service. Notice the emphasis on the word daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. There was always another sacrifice to be made. And so they're offering their sacrifices standing. After the perfect sacrifice is made, what does the Lord Jesus do? It says, he sat down at the right hand of his Father. Christ sitting down at God's right hand demonstrates that his work, the work of salvation, and how wonderful this is completely, finally, and perfectly completed. When Christ, verse 12, had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. His work is done, he sits down. He does not keep on offering the one sacrifice of himself. No, his sacrifice is perfect. It never needs to be repeated. It never will be repeated. F.F. Bruce writes, a seated priest is a guarantee of a finished work and an accepted sacrifice. He sits down at the Father's right hand, demonstrating that his Father and his God is perfectly satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son. The right hand is the place of honor, the place of glory. The debt of sin has been completely paid by Christ. Yes, the debt of sin that you and I have accumulated has been completely paid by our Lord Jesus, who is now exalted to the Father's right hand. And we see in verse 13 that he is the ruler and the victor of all, waiting from that time until his enemy should be made a footstool for his feet. Yes, on the third day, he rises from the dead. No enemy can thwart his perfect work and sacrifices, and all of his enemies will soon be under his feet. He is the victor over all, having accomplished the work that the Father sent him to do as he offers himself as the perfect sacrifice. And he's now, as we are waiting that day, when he'll return with power and glory, and all of his enemies will be vanquished, and he'll set up that wonderful, glorious reign. Here's the fourth and the final one, contrast. The Old Testament sacrifices were ineffective. They only covered sin. Christ's sacrifice is efficacious. It takes away sin forever. Old Testament sacrifices only covered sin. Did you notice verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, was a yearly reminder to Israel that its sin had to be covered so they could continue to have fellowship with God. If these sacrifices were effective, they would not need to be repeated. And the Israelites, of course, could never enter the Holy of Holies. There was only one man, one time a year, the high priest, who could enter into the Holy of Holies. And now, through the magnificent sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice provides for his people direct access to the very throne room of God. And his sacrifice for our sin provides not a covering, it provides 100% cleansing. Amen. brothers and sisters, allow this truth to grip your hearts. Verse 14, listen to this. Think of it. Think of the power of the cross. We're singing about it. Think of the power of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the power of his blood. For by a single offering, what's the single offering? His death on the cross. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Isn't that wonderful? For all time. And the Holy Spirit, through Jeremiah, bears witness to the covenant God made, that new covenant which is inaugurated by Christ's blood. It provides what the old covenant couldn't do. Now God's law, verse 16, is planted in our hearts and our minds, and divine power is given to us to obey God's commands from the heart. With the Old Testament sacrifices, there was a yearly reminder of sin, verse 3. But with our Savior's sacrifice, there is no such reminder of sins. Verse 17, can you grasp this? Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds, what? No more. My brother, my sister, the debt of your sin, I understand it's huge. I understand you consider yourself to be the chiefest of sinners, but that debt of sin has been completely and for all time paid. Never again will God bring that sin before you. Your sins and your lawless deeds, we read, verse 17, he will remember no more. Think of that. You ever done something wrong? Perhaps offended your wife or your husband or a friend, and they say they've forgiven you, but you get into another argument about something and they revisit the past. We tend to do that, don't we? We like to go back and dig up the past and bring the worst that people have done back to them and shove it in their face, as it were. Isn't that wonderful that God never does that? You say, well, I'm a very unworthy person, John. Yes, you are. In fact, you're more unworthy than you really think you are. You are very unworthy before a holy God. You deserve the condemnation of God. But into our world, God sends his Son. And that death is so efficacious that all of your sin for all time and for all eternity has totally gone. And God will never, ever, ever remember your sins again. They have been gone. 100% forgiveness of sins flows from this perfect sacrifice which establishes the new covenant. And your sins, if you're a true follower of Christ, will never, ever be brought before you by God. Not in this life, not in eternity. You need not worry. You need not have guilt or shame about the past. It's covered by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that wonderful, irrepeatable, unforgettable sacrifice of our Savior on the cross, that he remembers us no more. Two concluding questions. First, have you received the forgiveness of all your sins? Have you? Perhaps you've been raised in a religion where you've offered sacrifices. Here is the true God. God incarnate, who by the one perfect sacrifice of himself ends all sacrifice. On the cross, our Savior shouted, "Finished!" The perfect work of salvation has been accomplished by our magnificent Savior. No need now for these sacrifices. They've all gone. A new covenant has now been instituted by his very blood. And the payment God required because of our sin has been paid in full. He paid it all, 100%, paid, and now you're free. Verse 17, your sins are remembered no more. No more shame, no more guilt, no more remorse. Your sins and iniquity, God says, I will remember no more. Stop going back to your sins. Stop talking about them. Stop digging away at them. They're gone. They're remembered no more. You're now free to live the life with this very law written in your heart to love and to serve God. Here's the second question. What are you depending on to get to heaven? All religions other than authentic Christianity are standing up religions. The work is never done. You've got to keep hoping, keep trying, keep working, keep praying, keep offering, keep lighting a candle, keep going through some ritual. Try harder, be better, be good. Go through this ritual and that ritual. All of the religions of this world are standing up religions. But our Savior, the uniqueness of Jesus is this, that our Savior is seated. The work of salvation is done, perfectly done, once and for all finished. You and I can never add to the work of salvation. It's a masterpiece. It's perfect, accepted by God. Christ seated at the Father's right hand, and now in his amazing grace offers you the salvation. And says, the one that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. God's amazing grace is the very basis of our salvation, accomplished through Christ's perfect sacrifice. If you've never done it, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Receive this salvation. May we, from redeemed hearts, say to our Lord Jesus Christ, I love you, that my sins are many, are gone, and are gone forever. And I love you, and I serve you.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, The Perfect Sacrifice. If you want to revisit today's lesson or pass it on to a friend, just go to our website at theverdict.org. And when you do, be sure to also sign up for John's email newsletter. Once a month, John sends out exciting updates and opportunities here at The Verdict. So if you're not already on that list, sign up today at theverdict.org. And if you're a regular listener, we hope that you've found the daily lessons and various resources to be helpful in your spiritual journey. If you have, we'd ask you to consider partnering with us to help reach new listeners by giving a financial gift. Your generous contributions will help cover the cost to deliver the truth of God's Word through this radio program to your neighbors, your community, and all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. Or send your check in the mail by writing to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. As we conclude our program on this Good Friday, we want to invite you to join us for worship this Easter Sunday here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina, at the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road. Come visit us in person this Sunday morning or join us from wherever you are through our live stream online. For more details about our Easter services or any of our ministries, visit our home church website at calvarychurch.com. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? I'm sure you agree with me that such a sacrifice, a perfect, unique sacrifice, calls for a response, a verdict from each of us. I particularly want you to understand that this sacrifice ends all other sacrifices. And if there had been any other way to accomplish your salvation, Jesus Christ would not have been sacrificed on the cross. Today, trust him as your Savior. This Good Friday, worship him as Almighty God.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.